This is the Draft Prospect Review podcast from Patriots.com. Think you know who the Pats will take in the first round? Want to know what positions the team is targeting? We'll let you know what we think. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this Draft Prospect Review podcast with the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Gillette Stadium on a Wednesday afternoon here in Foxborough. Wednesday can mean only one thing, Eric.
We're a bunch of fools on April Fool's Day.
Well, that too. But Draft Prospect Review podcast, where we preview the prospects for this April's draft. And no Andy Hart today, so I had to fill in for the resident wise ass.
New dad.
He's a new dad. Again. And congratulations to him, his wife, and their son, Jackson, and their newest addition, Sydney. So Andy will not be with us, but Eric and I will take you through our position for today, which is wide receiver, Eric, and tight ends. We'll start with wide receivers, where I think there are no shortage of players that can help out NFL rosters. I think it's a very deep position, maybe not overly dynamic with star power at the top, you know, maybe aside from Michael Crabtree, but a lot of, I thought, really good players.
A lot of talent and a lot of, I think, probably two or three receiver types in this draft. Maybe, like you said, not a lot of star power at the number one spot, but plenty of depth if you're looking for a complimentary number two or a slot guy. I think you have plenty to choose from in this draft.
Yeah, and obviously we started off right at the top with Michael Crabtree. He is not on the Patriots' radar because he will
have
long since been drafted. But I think that he's, you know, very, very impressive on tape to watch. Great size, great hands, great speed. Pretty much, you know, has everything. Maybe not the top end speed that you're looking for, as you said, Eric. In the number one wideout, but certainly has everything else. But beyond,
he's a playmaker. That's really all you can say about the
terrific
guy.
Terrific player. And I know Andy has some reservations with some of the hangers on that have sort of attached themselves to his entourage, so to speak, and those are always warning signs, especially for that position, which tends to be a little bit high maintenance to begin
you're
with.
You're referring to the fact that he trains at the Michael Johnson Center, former Olympic sprinter, and Deion Sanders has sort of attached himself to that retinue of
I don't know why you have to talk like that. Just class it up a little bit and talk in terms that everyone can understand. But beyond Crabtree, who I think everybody is in agreement that he's probably a top five pick.
Sure.
Jeremy Maclin is a kid out of Missouri, I think, a wonderful playmaker.
I liked him a lot.
Good return ability, very dynamic, great speed, good hands, catches the ball with his hands.
Yes.
Really like him a lot. I think most of the listeners probably know a lot about Crabtree, Maclin, Percy Harvin, and guys like that. We all love Harvin as well. Very versatile guy. He's a guy that could be on the Patriots' radar, too. A lot of people think he's a first-round pick. And I'm not sure the Patriots would go that direction at number 23. It's a possibility. It is a possibility. I'm not sure they would go that direction at 23. But with those three second round picks, a guy like Percy Harvin, I think, would make a lot of sense.
He sure would. The only question mark I have about Harvin, and it's probably going to surprise you a little bit, it's not really the injury situation, which a lot of people have scratched their heads about with him. It's something that I see a lot of with Florida wide receivers in that Andre Caldwell was a guy, Bubba Caldwell, last year's draft. I had the same issue with him. Didn't see him catching a lot of passes. So I don't really have that comfort level that as a receiver, you know, coming out of the backfield or catching those little wheel routes, he can do that. But as far as running routes downfield.
I agree with you. He's not a wide receiver per se, not in that traditional sense.
Right. So that's the only question mark I have as far as how good are his hands. As far as all the other stuff, the athleticism and all that, I have no problems
with. Well, he's an incredible athlete, and I would love to see what Bill Belichick could do in terms of finding different ways to get the ball in Percy Harvin's hands. I think this is the kind of guy that Bill stays up at night, you know, trying to invent ways to use a player with this kind of athleticism, a truly special athlete.
And another thing to consider with him, there's already a relationship that's been established between Belichick and Harvin. From the time that Belichick spent a couple of...
Bill has spoken to the Florida team on a number of occasions under Urban Meyer, and Percy Harvin has spoken very highly of those talks.
And not just spoken to the team, but during practice, Bill's sort of watched the Florida practice and has pulled Harvin aside a couple of times and said, hey, listen, this is what I think you need to work on in this area, that area. And obviously he's going to soak that up like a sponge. And so there's already that. I mean, I don't think you can underestimate how important that is for a guy being evaluated by a team when you already have a relationship with that head coach. So Harvin, like you said, is certainly a guy that Patriots fans should keep an eye on.
I agree. There's a couple of other guys that have possible first-round grades. They're kind of first, second-round guys right now. Darius Haywood-Bay from Maryland. Pretty good-sized guy with great speed to go with it. Hakeem Nicks from North Carolina is a guy I think that is better when you get him in your system and play than I think if you just watch him on tape. I think he's a better player when you watch him on Saturday than he necessarily looks. I think he's a good player. I'm not necessarily sure he's a first-round pick, though. I think he's more of a second-round guy. But you're right about Haywood Bay. Real, real fast.
And I liked Nicks as far as his self-awareness on the field. He was always, you know, some guys are out there, they're in their own little world. Maybe sometimes they don't really do the little things, like switching the ball to the other side if they're near the sideline.
Yeah.
He was doing stuff like that. He was aware when the play
broke down.
You know
who he reminded me of?
Who?
Jabbar Gaffney. He reminded me a little of Gaffney.
A little bit.
You know, kind of tall, you know, not a giant or anything
right.
like that, but, you know, 6'1", but, you know, kind of made all the plays that you kind of expected him to make. I don't think he's going to make his living, you know, getting deep down the field and you know, and averaging 20 yards a catch, Dante Stallworth type catches. But I think that he could, you know, I think he could make a living moving the chains and probably operating inside or outside like a Gaffney. And probably catch the ball when it's thrown his way more often than not.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Haywood Bay, just for another second, I liked not just the fact that he was fast, but a lot of times you don't see this in receivers who are fast, in that he always seemed to fight for the football. It wasn't just a question of blowing past the guy and letting the ball fall to him.
I agree with
when
you.
When he was in traffic, he fought for the football. And I like to see that, especially from a guy who has that kind of speed. Because
he played in an offense with Maryland that wasn't overly dynamic, and I think he was the number one option that teams went into trying to stop. And that's why I think you found him. You know, sometimes you look and you say, why is this guy having to make all these catches with coverage draped all over him? Can he get open? Well, I think that Haywood Bay was one of those guys just attracted a lot of attention because he was the number one option for that offense. And I agree with you. I thought he showed good fight for the football and more often than not came down with it. A lot of receivers, though. You know, the kid from Oklahoma, Joaquin Iglesias, Derek Williams from Penn State, you know, even moving on to Brian Robisky, who has some NFL bloodlines with his father, Terry, from Ohio State. Lewis Murphy's a guy who, you know, you don't hear a lot about from Florida, but made a lot of big catches for the Gators, including in the SEC title game against Alabama. He's another guy. Those guys are all second, third rounders. What do you think about the kid from Rice, Jarrett Dillon?
Oh, he's my favorite receiver in this draft. I said that at the combine just from talking to the kid, and then now after watching the tape, I'm putting the two together. A little bit smaller, you know, on the size that the Patriots typically
have. I think he'd be a slot guy,
Yeah, but runs great routes. I love his hands. He put up, even more importantly, Paul, he put up big numbers against
production.
Big competition. He played in the Big 12, and as you know, last year especially, that conference could have beaten anybody in the country. Any of the top 5-6 teams in that conference were
they played some good
teams.
You know, Rice plays a pretty good schedule, and you know, I'm not saying this guy is a lock to be a superstar at the NFL level. I'm not saying he's Wes Welker, but his production was unmatched at the college level. I saw him, you know, running good routes, getting open, and also making catches in traffic, and he fights for the ball like we talked about with Haywood Bay. I don't know. I'd be willing to give a guy like that a shot. You know, a third rounder maybe.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, he's small. He's 5'10".
Sure.
And, you know, he's, you know, that's probably stretching it.
But he seems to be a quality character, too, off the field. And
yeah, I don't know a lot about him personally.
Having talked to him at the combine, he was saying all the things that you hear Patriots players say. It's almost like he was molded for this team. And I thought, given his production at Rice, which is, you know, it's hard to be an NCAA record holder in football when you play at Rice. He is one. He has, I believe, it's the most touchdown catches in a career at the NCAA 60.
Is that right?
And he also shares with his quarterback, the wide receiver quarterback tandem record of passes, touchdown passes 50 with his quarterback at Rice. So to do that on a team like that in a conference that he plays in, I think speaks volumes for what kind of an athlete.
Yeah,
he
they
is.
Play. They, I mean, they play some good teams. They play Texas, you know, look, Rice gets overmatched a lot. You know, they don't have the talent. You know, they kind of deal with Duke deals with the ACC. You know, but they play against some of these higher level teams. And this guy's production is still there. You know, the Texas's athletes are as good as anybody. And I know Rice played Texas last year. Mm-hmm. And again, he's one of those guys that stands out. But a lot of, I think, guys in the middle there, that third, fourth, fifth round area. Massaquoi from Georgia was a guy I thought that was looked pretty good. Brandon Gibson from Washington State I kind of liked. And a guy that we talked about Dillard as maybe being Wes Welker. You know, with the size, the small stature, and the slot kind of skills. Mm-hmm. Total opposite, Austin Colley from BYU. Yeah. Tall, lanky kind of guy.
And deceptively fast,
yes,
I thought.
Really strong hands, too, I thought.
He's one of those Latter-day Saints players who took a couple of years off. So he's a little bit older, and I think that's why he came out. Or he's an underclassman, technically, but he's a little bit older than most of the guys that are coming out this year. And I think he did that because he's already, you know, has so much life experience. Again, great route runner, has, like you said, catches the ball with his hands, has good moves in the open field, too. You know, might not be, you know, the blazing number one guy you're looking for, but as a complimentary
real smooth,
guy.
Though. I thought he was
very
smooth, running his routes and,
comfortable,
and very
comfortable
under control all the time.
Mm-hmm. I liked him a lot. I liked him. I think he could be another one of those mid-round value picks.
Yeah, and again, there's a long list of guys that Eric and I got tape on that this might be the position that had the most guys on tape. I mean, there was a good 20, 25 guys. And I really wasn't overly unimpressed with anybody. Even some of the guys that are slated to be seventh-rounders or free agents showed good hands and good speed, and maybe they were lacking a little bit in high-end speed or something about their size, mm-hmm. you know, knocked them down at the end of the draft. But the Patriots, you know, to get this specific to New England, we know that they added Galloway and they added Lewis.
Greg Lewis, yeah.
But I don't think that's going to preclude them from bolstering that wide receiver core. I think that they you know, with Moss and Galloway now, you're a little long in the tooth.
Mm-hmm.
And with Welker and Lewis, you know, you probably could use some more depth there behind those guys. So,
and just for sheer numbers,
somewhere,
I think you need to add
someone else. Beginning, middle, end, somewhere I think the Patriots are going to need to add some help at wide receiver.
Before we move on,
we want to talk about some tight ends. As well.
Quickly, your thoughts on Ramsey's Barden. He's a guy that Patriots fans have been mentioning a lot to us.
Yeah,
and our
look,
bag.
The guy. Here's the thing: he kid played at Cal Poly, and you know that's a 1AA school, and he's huge. He's 6'6". And every play I saw, I was less impressed with him than you were. Every play I saw him make, he was covered, but was the best athlete on the field, or had the best size on the field, and simply out jumped or outfought, you know, an overmatched athlete mm-hmm. for the football. I don't think he's going to be able to do that in the NFL. I think he's got possession receiver written all over him, and you know those big real. I don't really like real big receivers. I got to be honest with you. I'm not a huge fan of the 6'6" guy. You know 6'3", fine, but 6'6", you kind of wading the waters into tight end territory.
Playing the role of Andy Hart this week. Too tall. You have a ceiling.
Too tall.
You have a ceiling on tight ends.
There you go. But I didn't like Ramsey's Barden as much as you did. Why don't you tell people what you did
like
about him?
Well, the things I did like were some of the things you mentioned. He was taller. He always outfought guys.
He did.
A lot of jump ball plays.
I can't argue with that.
A lot of jump ball plays for him, but I think that was part of their offense. You know, that you have a guy like that, why not use him that way, especially against
much smaller
corners.
If he was doing that for Texas or for USC or, you know, for Florida, maybe I would think differently about it. But at Cal Poly, I'm just saying to myself, yeah, he probably doesn't make that catch in the SEC.
The thing I was thinking of was imagining that type of skill as opposite Randy Moss in this offense. Let's say the Patriots decided to take a flyer on this guy second or third round. You've got Moss on one side, Welker in the middle, this guy on the right or left, whichever side. Now you've got two guys who are almost similar in style. It's going to be hard to defend that. And you have Galloway now in the mix and Lewis, as we talked about. That's, I think, you're adding youth and size to the wide receiver position for the Pats, which is something they could get with just one player instead of adding maybe two of them. So that's what I was envisioning that as When I was looking at his film, I was envisioning how he would fit into this system.
And, you know, he's still, you know, he's a mid-round guy. He's, you know, that third round area, probably, you know, somewhere between the second and the fourth round, I would say. He could go as high as the second, maybe as late as the fourth. You know, it's like a 4'6", 40 kind of guy. I'm skeptical. Let's put it this way. Now, maybe people looked at a guy like Randy Moss, who was similarly overwhelmingly better than his competition at Marshall. But I thought he had the 4.2, 4.3 kind of speed.
Yeah, he sure did.
To go with it and ran by guys.
Right.
You know, he overmatched everybody by running by guys. This guy overmatches everybody
by just
because he's bigger and stronger than the guys he's playing with. So we'll find out. You know, we'll find out. Ramses Barden, I know that is, you're right, a guy that the Patriots fans have certainly been targeting. But moving on to tight ends, I am not overly versed in this group. I haven't had a chance to watch a lot of the tape, so I'm going to leave this one to you. Okay. Obviously, Brandon Pettigrew is at the top of the list and ran a very disappointing 40 time.
Yeah, very pedestrian, about 4.8, close to a 4.9, which is almost in the lower end of the offensive lineman. So he's very close to you know, being kind of disappointing as far as that goes. But the rest of them, I think, is fine. He's athletic. All these guys on this list that we have can catch well, I think. He wears 87, too. So right away when I saw him on his tape, reminded me of Ben Coates instantly. Same kind of style, too. Over the middle, used to, you know, cradle the ball, take a lot of hits. And I don't remember Coates being a guy who was a blazer either.
No, he was quicker than he was fast, straight line speed, in terms of straight line speed. But he could also, he was pretty athletic. He was very athletic for a tight end. And I know Pettigrew has that reputation as well.
So I'm willing to cut Pettigrew a little slack as far as the 40 time goes. Because, you know, if a guy can catch the ball and he can absorb hits over the middle, I think that's what you're looking for in a tight end for the most. You're not looking for every guy to be Antonio Gates or Tony Gonzalez. So I still, you know, obviously that's a little bit of a concern, but I think you're nitpicking a little bit. If all you're looking at is how slow he ran his 40. Other than that, I think he's got the right size, 6'5", almost 260. That's, I think, ideal for a tight end.
Anybody here that caught your eye in terms of Patriots type? You know,
yes.
The good versatility, maybe?
Somebody who reminded me of a Patriot, only maybe a little bit better, was Cornelius Ingram of Florida. Reminded me, build-wise, of a Benjamin Watson, only looked even more athletic. And
looked more like Tarzan?
Looked a little more athletic, looked like he might have had a little bit better hands. They used him a lot in the passing game down there.
Yeah, Ingram was a good player for them.
He had some medical questions toward the end there as far as some injuries, but I think while we were at the combine, that came up, and he kind of shot those down, saying that he was over that. It was something that he sustained towards the end of the season there. But obviously the connection with Urban Meyer and Bill Belichick, that type of offense. Bill obviously is familiar with this guy. I think he's one guy to look for. The guy that Andy fell in love with, and I'll speak for him on this because I know so much of, I had to hear him the whole week, was James Casey of Rice. This is a kid who, again, took some time away to play minor league baseball. Ridiculous athlete. So he's a little bit older than most of the guys he played with, which helps at that age. But his athletic talent was phenomenal. He's also got all this off-the-field drama. You can read what Andy wrote at the combine, but this is the kid who had the mother who was killed in the trailer fire, and just an incredible story all around. But he's a naturally gifted athlete, and I think if the Patriots were to take him, this would be this year's Mendenhall for Andy.
We'll have to get
a James Casey shirt. Yeah, but he's a guy to look for as well. But I think a lot of teams are going to have him on their radar higher up, maybe because of all of that. The hype surrounding him. I think he might be one of those risers on draft day. So if the Patriots were looking to get a steal from him, he might not be around third or fourth round because some other team might say, you know, they might take a reach with this guy based on his potential. But I think he's worth it. A couple of guys I thought looked more like wide receivers to me than tight ends. Travis Beckham of Wisconsin had a very lanky body. Mm-hmm. And you know, it sort of showed at Wisconsin. He sort of, towards the end of the season, the hits started taking a toll on him, and he started to have some injuries build up. And I think if a team were to take him in the NFL, they might suggest that he switch to that receiver role, maybe shed a little bit of of weight and try to get a little bit faster. But I don't see him really bulking up to become a tight end. I think he's got more of a receiver's frame, and he's got the hands already, so I wouldn't really be concerned about that. Felt kind of similar about Jared Cook of South Carolina. Very tall and a little bit light for his size, but blazingly fast. I think one of the fastest tight ends in this group, if not the fastest. The only disappointing thing I want to say, Paul, about the tight ends, and it was the same thing last year, I like to evaluate a guy not just on his pass-catching skills, but on his blocking.
Right.
And there's very, very little footage of any of these guys in blocking situations because, you know, that's one thing. We've drafted or signed a lot of pass-catching tight ends with this organization, and all of them have always said, I need to work on my blocking. I need to work on my blocking. So I'd like for once to go into a draft knowing that a guy can not only catch the ball, but can block as well. And unfortunately, we don't get a chance to see that too often. I think the scouts, or at least the people that provide the footage, tend to focus on the glamour stuff and the catching
sure.
and touchdowns. But being a tight end, you have to do both of those things. So
certainly
it's a little hard to evaluate.
As well, and you're not going to be able to only do one thing here unless you do it, as Bill always says, at an exceptionally
right.
high level. So you're right. We don't see a lot of the two-way, the old-school two-way tight ends very often anymore. And, you know, it'd be nice to be able to figure out which guys are a little bit ahead of the curve in terms of the blocking as they come in. And, you know, you look at the size sometimes, that doesn't really tell you the whole thing. And, you know, I've kind of put a moratorium on tight ends because of the unfortunate circumstances with my boy.
Yeah, Brian
Mandeville
of Northeastern.
Who certainly would have been drafted at some point, but will not play football due to an undetected heart condition that was found at the combine. So
very unfortunate.
Thank God that
it happened,
they found
it happened the day after the tight ends were made available to us. So he came in, had his his brief time with the media, said all the right things, was funny, was, you know, looked the part. I mean, really tall.
He was a nice player.
He was a good player, and you're right. He was going to get a shot. He was going to not only get a shot, he was going to make a team, because I think he would have been drafted high enough that he would have been he certainly would have he wouldn't have had to struggle to make a team, I don't think. He would have been part of somebody's plans. But the very next day, after he was made available, we found that out. So it's very disappointing.
Before we wrap this one up, any sleeper at tight end that maybe flying under the radar that you liked?
Sure. And I love the name, too. Bear Pasco. Plays for
there
Fresno State. He's a Pat Hill guy. Friends with James Sanders. Talked to him about that the other day. They're from the same hometown out in California. Look out for that name, Bear Pasco, on draft day.
All right, Bear Pasco. That's going to put a wrap on tight ends. Just want to a couple of things before we sign off. We have on Patriots.com, starting today, and there will be a different position periodically. I believe today is cornerbacks. Our draft prospect database is going to be posted. If it's not already, it will be shortly. There are comments there from the PFW guys as well as some accompanying video, so you can kind of watch these guys and see what you think yourself and compare what our opinions were to what you think. So, again, look out for the draft prospect database up on Patriots.com.
And it's downloadable.
Cornerbacks today. Yes, it's downloadable. Thank you, Eric. And I believe safeties will be
tomorrow,
featured
on
tomorrow.
Thursday, yep.
So I think we're going to be trying to do that Wednesdays and Thursdays.
And Mondays.
And Mondays.
Yep.
So the first two to keep an eye out on, cornerbacks today and on Thursday, safeties. So, again, a lot of draft stuff. It's really starting to get into it. It's April now. April Fools. Nothing here.
So this month we can say is the draft.
Yeah.
We're finally there.
We're here. So there's a lot of draft minutiae that we're going through. I know that the mock draft tracker is up on Patriots.com as well that Andy and Eric have put together. So there's a lot of stuff to keep an eye on. And if you want to be informed come the end of the month, you want to stick to Patriots.com and PFW and all our podcasts. But for now, we'll put a wrap on this week's draft prospect review, where we preview the prospects.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.